Don't be duped. Realize that there's false teaching out there. You need to know the truth, and you need to cling to the truth. And when you hear false teachers, you should be aware of it, and you should flee from it. And especially if they're promising you liberty, but what they're actually offering is some sort of licentious behavior that's slavery to sin.
Have you ever been duped by a spiritual deceiver? Someone who might be known as a spiritual leader? Can this happen to a mature believer in Christ? How able are you to spot a spiritual deceiver? Peter has an important warning for us today, and we will be talking about it in just a minute. Stay tuned. Welcome to another week of Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. My name is Lucas Kitchen, and my hope is that you'll join us every weekday at the same time. We're continuing through our current series, Confident in Christ. This is also the title of a book written by discussion leader Bob Wilkin. I would love for you to learn more about who we are and why we exist. I'll talk more about that at the end of today's program. Right now, let's get started with the discussion. Here are the Grace in Focus discussion leaders.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
My name is Bob Wilkin.
Well, we're talking about the life of believers and whether or not believers can lose their salvation. Our position is that once you're saved, you're always saved. When you believe in Jesus for everlasting life, you have a life that is everlasting. You can never lose it. You can never jump out of God's hand. He has you secure. Even if you're faithless, He will be faithful. Now, that's not a popular position. People use the Bible to raise questions about it. In one of the passages they use to show that believers can lose their salvation is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. Let me read it now. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. A lot of people think that means you go to hell. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Again, people think that it would have been better means they're going to hell. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Now, Bob, we know that a believer cannot lose their eternal salvation, but this passage has to mean something. There's a whole lot of pronouns in here, they, them, the ones. What does this passage mean?
Yes, this passage is a call to perseverance. Peter is telling his listeners that false teachers are coming. He starts that in chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Verse 17 indicates these false teachers are unbelievers. It's not that every false teacher is necessarily an unbeliever, but the ones Peter is prophesying about, who evidently came within a few years, because Jude writes and indicates they're already on the scene when Jude writes. So Peter's writing in about 65 and Jude's writing a few years later, and they're on the scene by then. And he's warning about these false teachers and that they might dupe or mislead born-again people. And not just born-again people, but mature Christians. As we're going to see, these people are mature Christians. They know Christ in their experience.
So this is about spiritual deception.
It absolutely is about spiritual deception.
And that's a problem today, just as it was in the apostles' day.
Probably worse today, because there's so many isms and schisms and wasms and everything else.
Right.
You know, a wasm is a past tense of an ism.
Oh, is it? I didn't learn that in
no.
school in Canada.
No, they didn't teach that at McGill?
No, they didn't teach that at McGill.
Okay.
We need to be discerning, because what we believe affects the way we live. It's very easy to get confused with all the different voices we hear. So tell us what Peter warns about here.
When you read this passage, you'll see third-person pronouns, they and them, Sometimes it refers to those, like those who have escaped or they who have escaped. Those pronouns refer to two different groups of people, the false teachers and what I would call the dupes.
So there's the deceivers and the duped.
And right. The duped are not only Christians, but they're mature Christians who get misled. Peter says they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not just positional knowledge. That's in their experience. They have become mature believers escaping the pollutions of the world.
All right. Well, let's go through this verse by verse and let's figure out, are these the deceivers or are these the duped?
All right.
So in verse 18, he says, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness.
That's the deceivers, because the very previous verse, they are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest.
And wells without water are empty, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they, this is the false teachers of 2, 1 through 17.
That's right. So they're speaking words, and these are empty words. So we know these are the false teachers.
Right.
These are the deceivers. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Now, only a deceiver would try to allure someone through the lusts of the flesh.
Right.
Through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error.
Now,
wait a second.
That's the duped. Mature believers who are being misled. They're being duped.
And we know that these are the duped because they've escaped.
Yes.
So we have the deceivers and we have the duped. And we continue in verse 19. While they promise them liberty.
Okay, the first they is the deceivers.
That's the deceivers.
The them is the dupes.
They themselves are slaves of corruption.
They themselves is the deceivers.
So the deceivers, they're promising liberty, but they don't have that to give. That's not even true of them in their experience.
They're slaves of sin.
They're just snake oil salesmen.
They are.
They are lying to these Christians. They're promising something they don't even have. All right. They themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. How would you paraphrase that?
Basically, if a person is in bondage to a particular sin, then that person is not giving liberty. That person is a slave of sin.
Well, in verse 20, I sense that there's a change here. The emphasis has been on the deceivers. But tell me if I'm right, Bob. It might be changing now. The emphasis might be on the duped. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world. Now, that sounds like the duped, because that sounds like a Christian, someone who has escaped the pollutions of the world.
Right. Remember in verse 18, we saw the ones who have actually escaped. Now we're picking that up again.
So we know this is the duped. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, that sounds like a believer, doesn't it?
Right. Not just a believer, but a mature believer, because the pollutions of the world would be the various sinful activities and thoughts of the world. These are people who have grown to maturity to where they've escaped those things. And the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here refers to an experiential knowledge.
So these are believers who are abiding in Christ's
yes.
words. They have the mind of Christ.
Yep.
They've been transformed.
Yes.
And Peter is saying, if they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So he's envisioning a situation where a mature Christian can become entangled into these old patterns of life.
And not only entangled, but that the latter end is worse than the beginning. Now, some people see that as saying, well, that has to refer to hell. I think not. You remember this same expression is used in the Gospels where Jesus refers to the man who had one demon, and the demon is cast out, and he finds seven more, and he returns to the man, and the latter state of the man was worse than the first. In fact, it was seven times worse. Well, in the same way, what he's saying here is, morally, the duped are worse off after being duped than when they started on the path of righteousness, which, by the way, he talks about the path of righteousness in verse 21.
Let's read that. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them.
Yeah, now see, a lot of people think it would have been better for them means something like better off eternally or something like that. The whole thing is talking here about escaping the pollutions of the world and now falling back into it. And so what he's saying is it would have been better to them not to have known the way or the path of righteousness. This is not talking about everlasting life. This is talking about growth in the Christian life. Imagine a mountain where you've got a trail that goes up, you know, these switchback trails, and you walk and you go higher and higher and higher. Well, the higher you go, the more dangerous it is. And what it's saying here is it would be better for a believer not to begin becoming more and more righteous and fall from that. It'd be better off not even start the climb, because there's danger in advancing in the Christian life. If you fall, the fall is going to be bad. In fact, in free climbing, I think they call it the coffin zone. When you get up about 50 or 60 feet, if you fall from 50 or 60 feet, you're dead. Well, in the same way, when you get high up on this mountain that's the way of righteousness and you fall, you'll be worse off than before. So let me give you an illustration from my seminary days. I went to school with a guy my first year. It was his fourth year at Dallas Seminary. And during the course of the year, his wife became pregnant. And at the end of the second semester, his wife was 9 months pregnant, and he left her to move in with another girl while his wife was 9 months pregnant. Didn't graduate. It was quite a disaster. And yet this was a guy who, before he came to faith, was a really nice guy. And when he came to faith, he got involved with Navigators, memorizing lots of scripture. Well, when he fell below where he was as a non-Christian. I think the point of this passage is clear. Don't be duped. Realize that there's false teaching out there. You need to know the truth, and you need to cling to the truth. And when you hear false teachers, you should be aware of it, and you should flee from it. And especially if they're promising you liberty, but what they're actually offering is some sort of licentious behavior that's slavery to sin. Avoid that like the plague, because your latter state will be worse than the beginning.
Thank you, Sean Lazar and Dr. Bob Wilkin, for helping us. In fact, warning us about how easy it is to be erroneously moved away from a position of God's grace. We need to stay very clear about the grace message. Eternal salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from works. This is Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. I hope that you will keep making it a daily habit to join us at this same time, Monday through Friday. We'd love to interact with you, and our goal is for you to know us a little better. Please take a moment to visit faithalone.org. At faithalone.org, you can sign up for our bi-monthly free magazine. It's called Grace in Focus, the same name as this radio broadcast. There's no cost or obligation. It is a free subscription. You can also leave an email comment or question for us at radio@faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. This series, Confident in Christ, will end with tomorrow's program. If you'd like a free ebook of the first four chapters of a book by the same name, Confident in Christ, just email us at radio@faithalone.org. Just request the ebook, Confident in Christ, and we'll make sure that you receive it. You will also receive a code allowing you to buy the complete book at half price. Well, that's it for today. We look forward to meeting with you again tomorrow, when our discussion title will be Obedience and Disobedience. What is the relationship between obedience and assurance of salvation? It will be another great discussion. I'm Lucas Kitchen. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.